Our last case for argument is United States v. Bush. Mr. Mullins.
Good morning. I represent Lamont Bush in this appeal, and our sole issue is the fact that the district court gave undue influence to the sentencing guidelines in this case and did not consider the disparity between the guidelines for crack cocaine and powder cocaine and how that disparity affects the sentencing factors under Section 3553A, and whether this case in particular called for a variance from the guideline sentence. Now, although he did vary from the guideline sentence, that variance was based on the substantial assistance of the defendant.
Yeah, he went down quite a bit. I mean, of course, the Sentencing Commission has just lowered the crack guidelines by two levels and has held hearings on retroactivity.
Correct, and if they are retroactive, Mr. Bush would be entitled to a resentencing under 3582 sub C. So that is an issue, but
it's
I don't think it's an issue.
Another iron in the fire for Mr. Bush.
Correct. I don't think it's an issue the court really needs to address because he's entitled to that regardless of how the court rules. But the variance that the district court gave in this case was based solely on the substantial assistance of the defendant, and he used the guideline level for the crack cocaine, a level 32 in this case, to base his variance from. So I think the how he judged the variance of substantial assistance was based on this guideline, and that's why he committed error. And I think
do you think this court should hold this case until the Supreme Court hands its decision down in Kimbrough?
I mean,
that's
that
what
might
Kimbrough's
be
about, the 100-to-1 disparity. And
well,
what
I
we
think
have thought is that although you can make a particularized argument why the sentence that comes up for the person using the crack guidelines might be too great in a particular instance, we have rejected, as I'm sure you know, more generalized arguments. And so, you know, maybe the Supreme Court will think that's the wrong way to go about these things.
I do think this court's decisions in Miller and Joynter addresses the issue that is presented today. So I think this court has precedent to remand this case because I don't think the district court followed this court's rules in Joynter and Miller. So
but
I don't necessarily
think. But
what have
you said that's very specific about Mr. Bush? I mean, you've said, you know, that he helped a lot, and in a sense, your argument's about substantial assistance too. What have you said about why he should be treated as though he had dealt with powder?
Well, we mentioned the general fact that there are some congressmen who believe that the disparity overstates the seriousness of crack offenses.
Yeah.
That we mentioned that generally. We also mentioned specifically, as for Mr. Bush, that we didn't mention it, I guess, in the sentencing argument, but it was presented in the pre-sentence report that this was Mr. Bush was a fairly small-level dealer, and that he earned $3,000 only, and that there was no violence connected with this offense. We also compared this case of dealing 78 grams of crack cocaine to what it would take to get to a level 32 for powder cocaine, which would take, I believe, 5 to 15 kilograms with a street value of approximately $100,000. So I think we compared the relative value of crack versus powder and what it would take to get to level 32, and those were the specific generalizations or specific findings that we asked the court to consider. I think the court's feeling of constraint is illustrated by the fact that it stated, for whatever reason Congress has determined, you can call it stubbornness or the will of the voters not to revisit the subject. Whether that will maintain itself for posterity remains to be seen, but for the moment that is the law and this court is constrained to follow it. And I would compare those comments to comments that the district court made in a case that was not cited by either party because it was issued after the briefs were completed, but in United States versus Schmidt, which is at 495 F3rd 860, the district court stated, and if we as trial judges are to impose sentences that are outside those mainstream guidelines as the Sentencing Commission and Congress have promulgated them, there better be very, very cogent reasons why the court believes it appropriate in a given case to impose a sentence outside the guidelines. And this court noted that the tenor of his remarks indicated that he felt that there was an outsider's constraint on his discretion that he was not free to set aside. So I think the remarks in this case are directly on point with the remarks in the district court's case in Schmidt. And in Schmidt, this court remanded for resentencing. I think in this case, the court should remand for resentencing. And I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mullins, Mr. Conan.
Good morning again. May it please the court, my name is Jonathan Koenig, and I appear on behalf of the United States. I'll begin with Judge Wood's question about whether it might be a good idea to postpone a decision in this case. There may well be some merit to that. I don't believe that Mr. Bush is going to go anywhere during the upcoming Supreme Court, or this term of the Supreme Court, regardless of how his various issues play out. But for the time being, until Kimbrough is decided, jointer is sort of the final word from this circuit, and I believe is very consistent with the position that the Justice Department has taken in the Supreme Court. Mr. Mullins is making a jointer argument here in this court. There's two problems with that from the government's perspective. The first is that he did not do so in the district court, even though jointer had been decided at that time. Instead, he mounted sort of a generic attack on the unfairness of the crack guideline. So I believe that's a forfeiture that invites plain error analysis, and the court should ask itself, you know, if there was error, does this strike at the fairness and integrity of the proceedings? I don't think it does, because the second problem with the defendant's argument is that jointer doesn't really help him. And for that very reason, we've argued that remand would be pointless. Mr. Bush, you know, not to be flip about it, but he was a fairly typical crack dealer. He dealt in mid-level amounts of crack cocaine. He had a significant criminal history. He was neither very young nor very old. The offense itself was nonviolent, yet he was clearly involved with firearms when he shouldn't have been. That's reflected in the gun charge that was dropped in the case, and that's recounted in paragraphs 24 and 25 of the PSR. So in short, whatever you may think of the crack guideline as a policy matter, and that's clearly something that all the branches of government are wrestling with right now, the government takes the position that there's nothing particularly special about Lamont Bush, such that his case could be the disparity could be viewed through the prism of his life or his circumstances, such that under jointer the disparity could be taken into account. On Schmidt, actually I was prepared to sort of talk about Schmidt in the previous case that I argued today, since that was an offense involving children. I would just note that the facts in that case were somewhat extreme. The judge mentioned Congress having spoken, or Congress, I think, about a dozen different times during the sentencing hearing. He also mentioned the PROTECT Act in a way that caused this court to be concerned that he thought his discretion was really constrained by that provision that this court eliminated in the Grigg case, 3553B2. And lastly, I believe in Schmidt, the district judge stated during the sentencing hearing that the guideline sentence would be presumptively reasonable, which at the trial court level is not true, as Rita made clear. So there were a lot of problems in Schmidt that I don't see in the transcript in this case, frankly. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the panel has, but otherwise I would ask that you affirm the sentence.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Koenig. Mr. Mullins, do you have anything further?
I don't think plain error review is appropriate. We made more than a generic attack. We specifically addressed the Section 3553A and the fact that there are various Congress people who believe that the 3553A factors justify sentences outside the guideline range in crack cases. Thank you.